So here's a funny story. Ryan and Grant Brisby tried to prank me.
I told them this last week.
Did you tell them that?
I told them. You can. Doug wasn't here.
I still think we could pull this off in like a week. He'll forget.
Fuck.
So
this was such a good prank. You're such a dick.
So Grant sent me an LP. Sent me a vinyl copy of a Barcaes record, knowing my weakness for 70s funk records. And mm-hmm. I was like, okay, cool. And I opened it, and inside there's a copy of Bob.
Oh, you actually did open it?
Yeah. And there's a copy of Bob. There's a copy of Bob Dylan's gospel record, which is in a discography full of shit, is the stinkiest turd in all of this barrel of horrible shit. And what I was supposed to do was go.
Wait. But how did you know it was a Bob Dylan record?
Oh, I didn't. I mean, I opened it and I was like, oh.
Because it's not just a Bob Dylan labeled record in a Barcaes sleeve.
No.
It's a Bob Dylan record with a Barcaes sticker that Grant had specially made to
wait,
put
so Spencer,
put,
you played this?
It.
Yeah.
And you never mentioned this to anyone. You no-sold this?
I was
you
so
big bitch.
I was so upset by it.
So it worked. Congratulations, Ryan.
No, I feel much better.
That there was no way I was going to publicly acknowledge that it happened.
Oh, I feel much better now. This is great.
To be honest, Spencer absolutely did the right thing. I would absolutely never tell anybody.
And it drove, because this happened months ago, and every like 2 weeks or so, Grant and I would text each other, just be like, why the fuck hasn't he listened to it? This is driving us crazy.
And until Grant caved, there was no way I was going to acknowledge that it even happened. I was going to die before letting it go.
All right. Well, this is the cold open now.
All right. Marking that
down. Oh, God. I'm glad you at least played it, because that at least makes it somewhat worthwhile.
No, I mean, I laughed really hard.
How long did it take you to realize? Like, what's the first song?
Oh, I forget what the first song is, but like he wheedled up. That's the term for Bob Dylan opening his mouth. He wheedled up to sing about Jesus, and I was like, "This is the thing I need least in my life."
I appreciate that you immediately knew what was happening. There wasn't a moment where you were like,
nope.
"This is an odd start to this." You were just like, "Fuck these guys!
Yeah.
Everybody out of the building right now!"
But yeah, when that happened, I was like, I am going to take this into my coffin and die with it. Yeah.
You did. It worked. We were so pissed for so long.
Well, because like, how do you win that proposal? Like, how do you win that situation?
Yeah.
The only way to win is to not play.
Yeah, you're right. You did. You win. God,
you know this so hard that the record, like the record sleeve, is still sitting up on the shelf with all the records. Like, just, you know, on display with the rest of them as though it is normal.
God.
So I think the logical answer is this, that we need to find somebody else who hates Bob Dylan as much as I do.
Oh, we got to pass it on like the ring.
And we
got to
pass it on.
Yeah, unfortunately, you've already told me about this, so you can't use it on me.
I think we played, on the road trip, did we play Bob Dylan for you, Jason? And you were like, no, this is garbage.
For me?
At you.
Around you.
Around you. I mean, I've been no fan of Bob Dylan for a great deal of time. I didn't need talked into this, I assure you.
For the record, I told Ryan and Grant, in the middle of thinking that this hadn't worked, I told Ryan and Grant that they should try it again. And the thing that I wanted them to put in the sleeve this time was a single of Ants Marching. Just because of the way it starts.
We were so beaten down by this.
Dude, that would be the funniest fucking thing in the world if
like
you thought
you had
like... the level
of planning and coordination.
If you thought you had like an original Sticky Fingers with the Rolling Stones with the alternate mix and there's only like 75 copies and you rigged up the cover and you sent it to somebody who actually knew what it was and cared. Like if we sent this to Cerber and he put it on and all of a sudden he heard... hear that opening sax flail? Holy fuck. I'd shit my pants laughing. He's so good.
This is like, you need to understand.
I bet it sounds so much warmer in vinyl, too.
Consider we overlapped for a long time at work. Grant and I never worked together on anything except this project. This is the only collaboration we've had.
This is going to be an amazing LinkedIn moment for both of you.
I mean, you got to realize this was actually a success.
I know. Yeah. It was a success on all sides because it really did.
Because I'm supposed to come out of the mining cart, right? I'm supposed to come out of the kitchen and be like, "Where are you, whippersnapper?" I'm supposed to pitch a big old fit, throw my ladle, right?
Your damn kids and your Bob Dylan
stomping in
books.
My corn cob boots.
What's in the nagel? Ladle? Did I just have a stroke?
Yeah, that's what I'm supposed to do. And I was like, nope, not getting that shit. Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. Introductions to follow. I am Spencer Hall. You are listening, as always, to the dulcet tones of Jason Kirk,
hello,
Ryan Nanny, and Holly Anderson. Joining us this week as our guest DJ is Douglas Reyes Cerrone, who is taking the wheel literally from one Michael Serber, who I believe is out racing go-karts right now. Not
He's
even
probably
lying.
Losing to Stephen Hartzell at go-karts.
He has texted us a photo of Stephen Hartzell on the victory podium.
He's so dejected.
Place. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's a nice podium.
That is a nice podium. This is a quality karting operation. I was going to ask, Ryan, have you ever been asked to leave a go-kart track?
No. I actually am pretty well behaved at family amusement areas because I'm not looking to catch a lifetime ban. That feels like too much. Have you?
I have been asked to leave, yes.
Okay.
That has happened.
How long ago was this?
Like 8 years.
Was this because of something you were doing as a driver or as a non-driving human?
I was driving.
Okay.
I was not alone in being asked to leave, so I will say that it was definitely a situation where
you put a strange kid into the wall and throw up the three?
By a strange kid, do you mean the kid was unusual or just a child he didn't
A child
know?
That was not yours. Didn't you put a stranger's child into the wall and like throw up for Dale as you ran by?
I put a spectral youth into the wall. His pallid skin glowing with an unclean and evil.
It's not called ghost cart, bitch.
Yeah.
That's one odd kid flying off there.
Boy, he's got a weird face as his go-kart flips over.
And not just because of being smashed face first into the wall.
Sure. So mm-hmm.
It was previously odd.
So,
I was the bully in a mutant revenge tale.
Is that why you were asked to leave? Because you were racing too hard against children?
No, actually, that was totally kosher according to people watching it. It was a clean pass, and it was just a racing incident. That's what we would call an F1, a racing incident. Clean racing, no blood, no foul. I did throw up the three as I went by, though, because as we discussed in a jovial chat after the race between the driver and I, the young man was an exceptional driver and hung me up for two laps despite me being cleaner and faster. So well done by all parties. That was not why I was asked to leave. Nor, by the way, at that same incident when my elder son broke a wheel on an electric go-kart, putting it into the wall. Snapped the strut clean. Not like, oh, maybe we didn't break this. No, we totally broke it. And we were also not asked to leave. Quality establishment in every single respect. No, that is not when I was asked to leave. I was asked to leave a Destin area go-kart track.
That's a high bar.
Yeah.
I bet there's felonies you could commit without getting turned out of there.
Just overly aggressive racing. And there was a ramming incident that turned into a, it was, I was trying to ram directly. It kind of turned into a T-bone, and then it piled up four or five carts, including one that took an alarming almost topple. And I think that's really what took it from misdemeanor to felony go-kart infraction, was that one of them almost went over the rail. And at that point, we were asked as adults to leave the go-kart facility.
Do you feel you did anything wrong looking back?
Yes, I did.
Wow.
I did. It wasn't, that's... you know what? It wasn't, I got to admit, it wasn't a racing move. That's where I'd like, as a motorsports aficionado, I was not in the spirit of racing. I was merely trying to exact revenge with a go-kart involved. And that, I think, that threatens the integrity of the sport, and that's where I admit fault.
Did you use any weapons? Banana peels? Turtle shells?
No, I think I had been pushed out of the cubes at that point, you know, when you're trying to get to the good double cube and somebody else takes it. Yes. So another Donkey Kong in my Mario Kart of life had swung over and taken it from me. So I had to rely on the weapon alone.
Yeah.
I mean the go-kart.
Yeah.
I think you mean another dry bones.
Yes. Another metal Mario had swung over and taken what was mine. So I felt
dry
the need.
Bones.
I felt the need to bring Lakitu into the race repeatedly for those against me. Jason, have you ever been kicked out of a go-kart track?
I think the first time I did it, no one explained braking to me. And I believe at the end of the race, I just stopped by slamming into the next person. I think I'd only been bumper cars at that point. And the car I slammed into belonged to my mother. And so, you know, heard about that a little bit later in the day. But
moms always want to chirp.
What's a bigger chirper than a mama bird?
Should have had her eyes on her six, I guess. I basically thought we were doing fast bumper cars, and I didn't realize. They probably explained braking to me, but it was like, yeah, that's suggested.
Yeah, I'm not at a listening age at this point. So.
Hold down A. B is for losers.
B is for cowards.
That's on the spotter, in my opinion.
You would all really enjoy go-karting with Michael Felder, who, as a grown-ass man, does not believe in applying the brake pedal in any go-karting situation.
That's what that's what friction and gravity are for.
Rally style.
That's such an affront to driving. I'm so appalled by that.
Truthfully, a go-kart, any responsible go-kart...
Oh, to be clear, I agree with them.
Any responsible go-kart facility should have, like, the cable setup they have on an aircraft carrier. It should just, at the end of the race, it should pop up and it should catch you on that. Mm-hmm. Why are you relying on teens and preteens to play honestly and stop the car? That's crazy. Don't do that.
We're talking about teens playing honestly. I know of adults that you all know from ESPN who have cheated in those races before. By the way, Gary Streisky will cheat in every go-kart race you ever play with him because he worked at a go-kart track as a teenager and he knows how to take the governor off.
You think Chris Berman likes the go-kart?
Absolutely, Ryan! Call me Emerson Fittipaldi, because these moves are stylish.
It's time to get out on the track.
Just Chris Berman popping
That's
Canadian pills.
That is what around. Chris Berman would call his cat, I hope.
Cat, Chris Berman.
Yeah.
Chris Berman. Yes. So I know of adults who will still cheat at
not
go-karts.
Kits Berman.
Yeah.
Kits Berman is the Panthers mascot.
Does he call himself like Kurt Warner?
God, I hope so. I think I'm on the 20 to 25 year development curve where I'm like, now I think Chris Berman is funny again. Like,
yeah.
Always he should do like children's birthday parties at this point in his life.
He should do Read a Rainbow.
Hungry, hungry caterpillar. It's a great. That's a good fit.
You're so hungry, Eric Carl.
You haven't heard Stregonona till you've heard Chris Berman read it.
Just say Stregonona in the best Chris Berman voice you can manage. Just try
Stregonona!
It.
Stregonona.
My favorite Chris Berman thing is whenever anybody got, like, you know, paralyzed on the field or decapitated, he'd be like, third down, and we're just going to get Larry Loves here and say we're thinking about the families. And a punt! Like, he would always have to, like...
It's like going from the Fox injury music to an Applebee's ad.
Yes, mm-hmm. in the span of one man's voice. What an instrument.
He taught us how to carry on.
And the pot is blocked!
The audio book here that's set to... I'm blanking on the Sunday night primetime songs, but, you know, I've only heard them my entire life. You know those songs.
Sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We know we fall Sunday night!
The Carrie Underwood one?
No, mm-hmm. No. No, the shitty
The Sunday night's all right for football
that,
thing?
No, the shitty background songs that play underneath the highlights that air as Chris Berman and Tom Jackson shout at each other.
Yeah, it's sort of like the same music you would hear on like a Ninja Turtles arcade game nobody was playing.
It's like a various Wii menu.
Yeah.
It's Wii menu music.
Yeah. Final Fantasy mini boss fight.
Yeah. Wow.
Where they're narrating something like Colts and Browns, both three games out of the lead. Tears his ACL in nine places on this play, leading to fourth string quarterback Blorp Flickthark.
I love the Casio choir the most.
Blorp doing his best. That's his third pick of the quarter.
I want to see some really enterprising band of TikTok teens start a band that's just for this.
One fish, two fish, red fish, Jeff Fisher leading the Titans to a 13-30 loss.
We could make a lot more out of a corporate music library than we can play in gigs, fellas.
No one walks into corporate poop bag stadium with an easy win.
Does everybody know the name of the venue in which the NBA finals were decided last night? I did not until yesterday.
It's something ridiculous.
It's adorable.
Yeah.
What is it?
It's...
Well, okay, there's a story behind it that's actually even better, but the name is Ball Arena.
Ball Arena, that's what it is.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Which, first of all, if you say it fast, it's Ball Arena.
Yeah.
Second of all, I looked at the font on the court and I said, wait, is that Ball Arena as in the canning jars? Yes, and... Spencer, you told me the rest of the story. Why don't you pick it up?
Okay, so the Ball Corporation is
which is not there just jars.
Yeah, there's a tie to the local area because the Ball Corporation is headquartered in Westminster, Colorado. It didn't start there. It was founded in Buffalo, New York, when it was known as, God, I love this, the Wooden Jacket Can Company.
Yeah!
The That's wooden the jacket sounds like some kind of hillbilly torture implement.
It is the most jug band name ever. Like, right? Like, here, the main course has arrived, and now to entertain you, the Wooden Jacket Can Company.
It sounds like a southern fable. Like,
right.
That boy's walking around like he's got a wooden jacket on. Like, right. What does that mean, Grandpa?
So the ball, if you're saying, oh, man, like ball jars? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. We're talking about... the jars, because it was originally a glass manufacturing company that was spun off, and Ball is now involved in all kinds of different stuff, including pretty much anything that involves aluminum, avionics, metal beverage, food containers, aerospace systems. So,
more specifically, Ball State University, also these people.
Yeah, correct. That's what I thought. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure we've discussed on here. It might have been a few years from, but like. Ball is like integral to the James Webb Space Telescope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The fucking jar people helped build possibly the greatest technological achievement in human history.
Eat shit, Mason.
Yeah. Mason, all you're good for is collecting rainwater.
That's right. You're not helping to advance the enterprise of human knowledge intergalactically. No, man. You're just sitting there full of some sort of artisanal beverage that people think looks cute with a nice garnish. Meanwhile,
expensive lemonade. That's what you're doing.
Yeah, you're doing expensive lemonade. You're not out here acquiring Tubex Industria y Comercio de Embalagens Limited in Brazil for $80 million.
Low-tier FBS football.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And producing David Letterman, the most famous graduate of Ball State University. That's who they are named after. Kind of a shocking thing when I was like, oh, how quaint, the jars. And then you look up what they actually do and you're like, oh, fuck. Jesus. They make some fearsome shit.
So we had Ball Arena, and was it crypto.com or FTX? I forget.
Somehow still named that.
Crypto right. was the Lakers.
The Lakers one? Okay.
Crypto's now gone. So Staples is back, probably.
Crypto is gone, but isn't one of those names still the name of the arena?
You come crawling back to Office Supplies. You thought you were too good for staplers and folders, but
AM
turns out
radio. They can just leave the fucking URL on the stadium, and whoever buys it, a collapsed crypto fund URL. Mm-hmm. That's got to fetch a pretty penny.
Pets.com coin.
Yep. Hey, TM.
We need to start folding eras of bowl names together. Be like the Micron PC coin.
Is it fraud if you mint and market a cryptocurrency that you tell people at the front, this is a scam? This is a scam, and we will take your money and leave. Like, let's talk
about definitions of the word bit. Right.
Does that mean it's like based in a country with laws, so they have to?
Sure.
That can't mean Dade County. Cannot mean Dade County. It is now sponsored, by the way, the Miami Arena, formerly FTX Arena, now sponsored by Kaseya. If you look up what Kaseya does, it says that they empower service providers to streamline workflows, automate tasks, and deliver exceptional service to clients. I read that as we design the assassin sex robots.
That's like the shell company that the John Wick universe lives in.
Yeah, they have a stylish hotel that you could only stay at if you're into
the
streamlining workflows. I'm just going to walk up right now and be like, is this the Assassin Hotel? Like when I pull over at the Fairfields Inn.
Right. Like, just bring a gaudy plastic gold coin slide it across.
I need one room.
Kind of wink. You
hand them a brick.
I need one room and then second coin with breakfast.
This poor hand manager's just looking at you handing over your cookies.
The mundane problem, like behind the guild hotel, right? Like these sheets are itchy.
And also, like, roll up your sleeve and reveal a confusing tattoo somehow.
As you know, I'm not allowed to murder you here.
This is sacred territory.
The continental breakfast at this Hampton is off limits.
Walking around the lobby, asking everyone where some character is who's called like the adjudicant or something like that.
Night manager Janice, you're lucky. This is holy territory. Otherwise,
need to speak to the night manager. And you mean like the person who manages the night?
Right.
Go Citronauts.
Right. I mean the person who like controls the armored horses because I need one.
Okay, yeah. And it turns out it's the same person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have an idea for the next 4 John Wick movies, and it's to reshoot the first 4 John Wick movies, only every scene is fully glaringly lit.
Sure. Great.
John Wick, but you can see everything.
Uh-huh.
Like one of those fights under the gentle humming fluorescence of a double tree.
Oh, okay. I see it. Right. I see it now.
Right. A hungover craggy Ian McShane in all of his natural light glory.
Yeah, he's going to look a lot worse.
All of this takes place inside of a Costco at 2 p.m.
Give me John Wick in the back rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I want the short film about a guy who gets a really good deal on a room at the Assassin's Hotel when it's not at capacity.
Who accidentally like gets it through
the guy
Orbitz.
Who, like, kayak.com.
Yeah, gets it through Orbitz or kayak, you know.
Oh, shit.
All these people seem really, 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 really defensive.
But sexy.
Sexy, yeah.
Is this a convention?
Hey, little lady. Whoa!
I meant no offense.
Going to the front desk. Where's the best Tex-Mex? Boy, you don't seem very friendly.
Actually, that'd be just Lance sitting there going like...
Lance Reddick trying to explain... Lance Reddick going, quesarito.
Yes.
R.I.P. Lance.
They have an excellent cheese dip.
Yeah.
Cheese dip. He would pronounce the second one a cheese dip.
How far do the dolphins swim? The thing where you meet dolphins swimming here to do.
The encounter, sir.
So the existence
of
the John Wick
Assassin's...
You're
here to kill the dolphin mate, eh?
Oh gosh, no.
No, there's an insurance convention that here. Just,
yeah. Yeah, that's where you really want to call in the Marines. The Dolphin talks shit about the Chargers. Get him.
One thing I really appreciate about the John Wick universe, they don't even, like, with some very slight exceptions, I think in the first and maybe the second movie, it's not even suggested that police exist in this universe in any way, shape, or form.
It's incredibly libertarian.
Like, 500 people are getting shot and stabbed in 24 hours, and the cops are just like, well, we're just going to set up a speed trap over here for regular folks.
Every problem is like, it'll sort itself out through the free market of murder.
It's really just a long lesson in minding your own business.
The invisible hand even slits your throat. That's how the economy works.
There's
baby.
Never even any talk of like, we got to avoid the cops. Yeah. It's like, no, right. My horse is murdering people on the street.
Fuck.
Right now.
The premiums to be in the Assassin's Guild must be fucking nightmarish. You kidding me?
Yeah.
We're fighting in the world's most famous roundabout.
Well, the calls all
for fun.
The calls all have to go through your accomplices, the room full of attractive rockabilly women, remember?
That's true. Yeah, they're very
good. They're the only ones who can do it, and they probably just reroute that shit. They're like, hold on.
They're very good at sleevelessly rerouting the cops.
Yeah. or they check with the cops, and they're like, I don't know, the attractive rockabilly ladies told us not to look so close at that, so I'm going to obey them.
I mean, she has a lot of tattoos, so what do I know?
Yeah.
And God help you if you get a phone and you happen to get some old assassin's number and you're just, there's an $8 million contract out for what? What is this? This is the weirdest spam text I ever got.
I work at a preschool.
I'll try it.
I guess so.
He's right there running past me right now.
Mean,
I'll join the crowd.
I'd be crazy not to.
It's free real estate.
I mean, I've just watched him fall off an 8-story building, bounce, and get up, but I think I'm the guy for the job.
He can't shoot ever. Oh, he can. It turns out he can.
He can't just run into a room, build a gun, and shoot me in the head. Oh,
I didn't do the math on that one.
Damn it. Oh. They didn't tell me he could build a gun.
This motherfucker's crafting.
Yeah. So that's.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry, I just thought of like a Paper Mario John Wick, like Yoshi, like the Yoshi mm-hmm. game that's just crafting.
Mm-hmm.
Minecraft John Wick.
His little arms just waving like Minecraft arms. Like
slaughtering people.
Yeah. So today I actually did have a game, a quiz, a survey, if you
I
will.
Love games.
A discussion point. Because we like to be
topical.
And one thing that did happen to happen in the past week was an entire sport somehow managed to get like 49% bought by the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia.
49?
Wasn't that like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Just because, wait, we talked about it. Just because it didn't happen on the last episode you were on.
Doesn't mean it
was a week ago.
Whenever Spencer's not around, time pauses.
This is correct.
We're all just NPCs waiting for the main character to return.
We enter a temporal anomaly. We just wait for someone to bring us 12 sapphires so that we can hand them the baseball mitt.
I really hope
we get it.
I really hope he lets me use one of my 6 conversation arcs. That's all I have in life at this point.
I'm just selecting the Zelda option goodbye. You know, there's always like 3.
The number of times
I do that with NPCs in that game, even when I shouldn't, they're like, so I was just looking for the enchanted item number 8.
Goodbye.
And I'm like,
goodbye.
Goodbye.
Spencer, last week, all we talked about was the bridge is out. Someone needs to fix it. The bridge is out. Also, you and my daughter play this game the same way. I'm like, all right, let's understand the story. And she's like, next. We need to find something to jump off of.
Fix your own problems, people. Jesus.
She'll do all the missions. She just doesn't want to know why.
Come on. Yeah. Just put the yellow dot on my map and move on.
Just tell me what the fuck you want.
I don't care. You're a bird with problems. All birds have problems.
I will
shut
climb
up.
Anything. I will collect all the garbage in the world. Just do not explain why.
Not a fucking plot point I'm interested in. Every time a Korok is like, "Hey, I need to reach my friend," I'm like, "That's crazy." Yeah.
I did have a good moment. So I finally started playing this game this week. I held off because I had life to deal with. I did. I couldn't figure out how to get a Korok across the river effectively. Yeah. So I just put a jet turbine on him and let him sort of bounce over across the river accidentally. It was great. I turned a Korok into a jet ski.
I did that. I think I launched one straight up into the river, swam across the river, and then pulled him across the river. So you got the middleman.
I like just tacking them to stuff and throwing pieces of metal. Like sometimes I'll just attach the Korok to a huge piece of metal and throw it. And like, ow!
And hey, if he complains, you get what you pay for.
That's right.
You could have just walked.
This is essentially the Frontier Airlines of help that we're offering you, Koroks.
It's the really libertarian Uber.
You wind up where you wind up.
Yeah.
I need help. Sure.
Spencer, before you get to your news that has already happened more than a week
ago.
Your
ancient news.
I would like to briefly pause to note that somebody, and I forget who, and I should go back and find it. I apologize, Twitter user. Somebody has proposed yet another way in which you could make good on your, 2 or 3 years ago beer promise?
Yes.
Florida has made it to the College World Series in Omaha. The Men's College World Series, that is. Congratulations to Oklahoma. Fuck off, FSU forever. And the bar in Omaha that does the Jell-O shot thing, it has been suggested that you could put in an order for at least some portion of your debt, and others could eat your Jell-O shots that were supposed to be beers.
Yeah, no, I love this idea.
You're not going to do it. He's not going to.
That's a great idea.
What about standing in the crowd during a home run as beers rain down upon you? That happens sometimes.
That would be like trying to absorb 300 beers through my skin. Okay.
I am now realizing that I have asked Spencer to do something baseball related, so I retract this and I recognize the folly of
baseball and math.
But it's college baseball.
Yeah.
Baseball and math.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Baseball, math, and consuming large amounts of beer past the age of 40. It's not a great idea.
You're older than 40?
I am over 40, Ryan.
Oh, can I? I'm sorry. I keep getting off track here. I turned 40, and none of you noticed, and it fucking ruled.
I congratulated you, didn't I?
No, you didn't, and it was fine.
I congratulated Floyd. Man, you slid harder than Floyd.
You didn't want it to be noticed.
I prefer my birthday to go unnoticed publicly. So
yeah, that's fine.
Folks, here's how you can reach Ryan to say happy birthday.
It's too late. Just give him Spencer's number.
So you've revealed that it has happened.
It's already passed. It doesn't count now.
You've narrowed down which half of the year it's in.
That's true. Yep. Okay.
I let Floyd's go until like 8 p.m. on the day of, and I was just like, well done.
It's powerful of you.
Yeah, now that you turned 40, by the way, you're off the calendar. You don't ever have to celebrate a birthday ever again.
I won't.
When's the last time any of you celebrated your own birthday?
This one was some stuff was involved, but that makes it sound more exotic than it was. But no, I took a drum lesson. My wife said I've always wanted to learn how to play the drums, and my wife set up a drum lesson, and I went and played drums for like an hour.
Did you get a kit
on a set?
I got a electronic kit.
Okay, that's a good start.
Yeah.
You have two kids. That's an excellent call.
It has an off button.
Yeah, because otherwise that would have been, I got daddy a gift. And you're like, you got daddy a curse. Because you're going to hear like a five-year-old in there doing their best drunk John Bonham.
Yeah. Also, it's somehow in six different rooms already.
Yeah.
He chewed through the hi-hat. That's never seen that before.
Wow.
What's thumping on the roof?
Sorry. You want to talk about the PIF.
I was going to ask, by the way, how's your right foot, your right hand, right foot? Are you right footed?
Yeah, I am.
When you
right
play
footed.
Drums?
Yeah.
Okay. So how is your right foot, right hand separation? That's really hard for me. Like when
it's,
you play drums.
It's okay. It's okay. It could use improvement.
Yeah.
But that's why I'm just getting started. So.
Well, beautiful. Congratulations on turning 40.
Thank you. The goal is to eventually do a full cast live show where I don't participate other than just playing drums.
A lot of drummers also vocalize.
I'll be the Phil Collins of the folk.
Between that and the chimes, we could have like an analog soundboard.
That's pretty good. That's fun.
I learned two chords on guitar last year, so...
Oh, okay. Man.
I'm basically
Spencer,
a
are you ready to be
already.
The front man?
He's going to have to sing.
I am ready for the front man, yeah.
Hell yeah. What style are we going for?
The darkness.
We'll fling it. Okay. We'll find out when we get there.
Okay.
I think it depends on the combination of all three. You can't really say, because I know that like we can make guesses based on all of our preferences. But
sure.
When we play together, maybe we're a punk band. Who knows?
Okay.
I think by default, given our level of skill, we'll have to be a punk band.
Boy. Oh, no, that means you doing a British accent.
That's fine. That's
a fake British, fake Californian, somewhere in there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the Flaming Lips started, and they were like, we're going to do Led Zeppelin, and they started to play, and they're like, oh, no, we're a punk band.
Yeah, this is
we
the way.
Suck. We're ass.
Spencer, tell us about Dat Piff.
So what I wanted to talk about today was this, that we're always familiar with the oncoming threat of the terrible people we might be associated with in sports. But we rarely think about the terrible people we've been associated with for years. And this goes for college football because we're not ever really sure who owns college football. And the real answer is no one, but there are people who like to lease it, and that would be boosters. Boosters come and go, but they write large checks, and they sometimes make large and heinous differences in the trajectory of programs. I thought it would be fun today to just go ahead and give you like the blind card on some of these, okay, for people that we know all of these things about, and you say, okay, I think that's this booster associated with this program. You know some of these you don't. Some of them are individual, some of them are a cast of characters, because honestly, when doing a little bit of the cursory research that went into this, you encounter groups of boosters that are so large, so nefarious, and octopus-like that there's just no way of pinning down a program's dominance and sketchiness to just one person. There's just so many people involved, looking at you, any school in Texas, that you really can't just put it on one person. So some of these are a cast of characters. I will tell you about those. Some of these are very obvious because they have such unique profiles. We'll start with a real easy one associated with one of the largest and most successful athletic departments in the country and a billionaire. Let's see. This one's very short, but it should be very obvious. The guy who put Jeffrey Epstein in charge of his money.
This is Ohio State.
That's a lot.
That is correct. Yeah, do you know the guy's name?
Wexler, I want to say.
That's way too many guys, though.
Les Wexner.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Who is like, has Victoria's Secret money, I want to say, or some shit like that?
L Brands.
Okay.
L Brands, which includes.
Wasn't that what my stock game?
Yes.
Wasn't that
been.
The stock
yeah.
game that I picked? Because it
I
had
think, yeah.
Ulta in it or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Among other brands.
Wow.
Yeah. Victoria's.
Must have been a really smart investment.
Yes, Victoria's Secret, Bath and Body Works. Is
that's
also...
why I picked. That's why I picked was, it for pandemic stock.
Yeah,
because everyone was going to be smelly.
Yeah.
Yes, the limited was also that Abercrombie and Fitch, definitely not a problematic company in their own
sure.
right.
Sure.
Sure.
Also, not a very Ohio State fan company.
I think his family name is on like either the Ohio State Med School or the hospital on campus or something
that is,
like that.
That is correct. And to be fair, I can hear Ohio State fans already yelling at me that some of these are legacy donors. It's not like Wexner is like deep in cahoots with the people running the football program. His name's on a lot of things at Ohio State.
Sure.
But
does that make it better? Yeah. Or does that do the other thing?
Nevertheless, his name's on a lot of things.
It makes it worse. It makes it worse. So I'm just going to go ahead and air that argument out.
It makes it more.
Yes.
Sure.
It does. And so it's like not like he's like, you know, calling up Urban Meyer and being like, you're done. No, like that's not how it worked. But yes.
So he's also bad at judging football leadership. That's what you're saying.
One could say that. One could say that. Also, you know, designed Victoria's Secret to be the store that men bought lingerie for women at. Not women bought lingerie for women.
Imagine Urban Meyer at a Bath and Body Works just like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Oh, Jesus.
For the first time in his life thinking about his sense of smell.
God.
That would be
hell is all
red
this?
And I never thought of peppermint as a pink. Red and white.
I don't even think half these berries are real that they're talking about.
Listen, after I smell the cucumber, they're just all one smell to me. All of them. They're just all, it's just all oblivious to one
ginger
flavor.
Ginger doesn't have blossoms.
Excuse me, do you have this candle in Adagio scent?
What the fuck is vetiver?
What is Adagio scent, sir? Masculine. It's the most masculine scent imaginable.
There's one that smells like field.
It's cheeseburger spilled on a leather couch.
Excuse me, do you have 10 mile per hour wind east?
Need one that makes the whole room smell like Arby's.
But not the restaurant, the bags in the passenger seat after a couple of hot days.
Give me one that's 49 degrees.
And gray.
1 p.m. Eastern.
The smell of gray meat.
Give me a candle that smells like success.
So, sir, the Michigan candles are over here.
In the interest of balance, our second one will be this. Please tell me the major donor to a major athletics program who, in 2019, really, that was not what, not 2019, hosted a fundraiser for Donald Trump at his Hamptons mansion. It should become very apparent after I say this next one, but we're going to play it anyway. Fined $1.5 million by the NFL for numerous violating the integrity of the game infractions.
This is the Dolphins owner.
As owner of the Dolphins.
Yeah, yeah. I forget his name right now. Steven Ross? Is that his name?
Certainly not the sole donor to Michigan Athletics, but definitely not someone who couldn't be considered a sole donor to Michigan Athletics. That's right. One of the champions of the West, Steven Ross of Michigan.
They're... At least once a month, Jim Harbaugh calls David Ross. Is like, "You ready for it? You ready to hire me yet?" Right? Like that has to be happening. And Stephen Ross has to be like, "Ooh, let me. Oh, we're working on paperwork still, bud. Any day, you'll see."
He's got to do that, right?
And then Harbaugh does the okay. I'll tell the school president to to post that I'm staying forever. I'll check in next month.
Just Jim. You know Jim Harbaugh. You know Jim Harbaugh blew the Broncos job by like. Telling the guys, hey, football team's like a body.
I'm your butthole.
And everybody needs a butthole. And that's like, and I'm the asshole. And the Broncos guys were like,
it's funnier and more likely that he said butthole.
He did, yeah.
These people were, however, charmed by Sean Payton.
Yeah, that's something about how off-putting Harbaugh has to be to adults.
You're not too good for Harbaugh, you freaks.
Listen, with Sean Payton... You know there's pills involved. That's there for everything.
Oh, we're going to get mile high for real. Yeah, all right. Mm.
So many things make sense now.
I also think if you're the Broncos, you're like, we can't put Jim Harbaugh and Russell Wilson together.
Oh, why not? What a potent brew.
They will be like, not only is the Earth not flat, it's one dimension. It's a single dot.
The concussion water is also holy water.
Earth is flat. Moon is far away because it's a nanobubble.
Russell Wilson
cook up some wild shit. Yeah.
Russell Wilson would throw for 4,000 yards, 48 TDs. He'd have his most successful season afterwards. And a day after that would be like, this is the worst year of my life.
Me and Coach are missionaries to Antarctica now.
And then the offseason, they'd like start their own wellness channel.
Yeah. Pete Carroll's like, jet fuels can't melt steel. And Russ and Jim Harbaugh are like 9/11.
Planes don't fly.
They're like, 9/11 didn't happen. It was all staged.
I can also see them just fighting off of meaningless corporate perks because of Russell Wilson's obsession with like theater. So, you know, if he came up and he was like, I need a thing that says this parking space reserved for
the boss, comma, Russell Wilson. And the boss has to be in quotation marks. And the lines have to be gilded. They have to be lined in gold. And Harbaugh would be like, I need one of those. He can't be the big boss. Well, I'm the big boss.
I'm the biggest boss. Put biggest boss on mine.
I love Metal Gear Denver.
Can you put Mr. Asshole? I'm the asshole of this team. Put Mr. Asshole right here.
Another Metal Gear name.
I'm Liquid Asshole.
After all those breakfast burgers, I don't doubt it.
I know the answer is maybe Holly did. Any of you see Aaron Rodgers at the Tony Awards?
Yeah, I'm upset.
What a sentence.
First of all, why was he there? Who's he dating now?
I think he's just trying to be New Yorkie.
You know who he's dating?
No. Theater. Mr. Stand Theater.
Broadway. The Great White Way.
The Great White Way.
Yes, I know he's in love with drama. Yes.
Yeah, he just...
All right, Spencer, who you got next?
They should have given him an award for all his shenanigans.
Are you is this Berman again?
Aaron was found himself very confused because the winning show was named Parade, and you know he's not experienced.
Ah, fuck.
It's been about 11 years since he's caught that one.
God, Chris
that's a joke
Berman
for three people, and I love you all.
Chris Berman would have so many Rodgers and Hammerstein jokes if he could still be on. Ah,
Rodgers Hammerstein.
Whoa.
That was the other Jets quarterback.
I'm going to call him a Pirate of Penzance because he's the modern Major General.
Jesus Christ.
The previous Jets quarterback, it was Hammers MILF.
Well, yeah, I was referring to. Never mind. It's fine. Who's next?
We can cut this out in post, right?
I'm calling Aaron Rodgers a shark because he's a threat to the Jets.
Does it make sense?
It does. It doesn't, not at all. So next. I liked this one because I learned something doing this one. So we'll do this one. A Nepo baby. A lot of these guys are Nepo babies. Had a little head start in life or a massive head start. This guy inherited a mortgage business from his dad. Spun it up into an even larger mortgage business, one that's currently under fire after a Bloomberg report depicted the company as a hotbed for sexual harassment, drug use, and racial disparities. It's also the subject of an NLRB investigation. He defines his leadership style as being inspired by Tom Izzo and uses a lot of basketball as life metaphors.
Citation needed.
Yeah.
He's one of two mega boosters, speaking of crimes, behind the Mel Tucker deal.
Yep.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And most recently got into a shoving match with Nikola Jokic, who I don't think cares about anything.
Shoving match is a very exaggerated term for what that was.
Bounced
off of. Yeah.
Was mercifully spared by.
Yeah, this is like
some big don't you know who I am energy, and at no point will Jokic ever have any awareness of who this guy is.
No.
Should he.
He's not a horse, so
not
he
a horse.
Won't care.
I don't even perceive him.
Do you guys think he's still in Denver right now?
No.
No.
Like, he's gone already, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah, gone.
Yes.
Okay.
You're talking about Matt Ishbia.
That is correct. Michigan State mega booster Matt Ishbia.
And Suns owner, yeah.
Yes, and owner of the Suns. who they got rid of, like a guy that everyone was like, yeah, we got to get rid of him. Then they hired him, and for one day, everyone was like, all right, new guy. The day two, they're like,
So as a Michigan State fan, he played a part in hiring a coach for way too long. He overcorrected by then firing a previous coach of the year as soon as he had the chance.
Because he just didn't like him.
Just does stuff. Just a guy who does stuff.
Yeah.
Just doesn't like him. Like Monty Williams, a guy who, to be fair, did get on DeAndre Ayton's nerves by being like, you should turn your life over to Jesus. And DeAndre Ayton is like, nah. Like, I'm kind of on DeAndre Ayton's side where he's like, yo, you need to chill with this. I'm just going to be an NBA dude. Okay. That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to go home. I'm going to play video games. That's my whole life. That's all I'm doing. And apparently he and Monty did not get along well. So like, I might kind of get that with Matt and DeAndre. On that side.
Okay. Well, that's more money from Mel Tucker.
That's more money from Mel Tucker. That's right. Let's re-up. Let's do it again. Next on the list, we'll get out of the Big Ten and go to another major conference.
Nope, that's the end of the episode. Every other team is clean.
Wow,
shame on you,
Big Ten. Only the Big Ten is full of scumbags. That's
crazy.
That
is definitely what we're going to title this
episode. Only one division of the Big Ten at that. I've always been a Big Ten West fan because that's where honest football is played.
I think it's more the Big Ten, the schools we've named are just so filthy. I just can't bear to talk about the rest of the conference anymore because all of it is at least this morally depraved.
Yep.
Yeah. So this one, I will say this school's boosters are very hard to ferret out. They are very hard to figure out who exactly holds sway. So you kind of have to revert to like a little bit of older data, which still holds up regarding their significance in the program. Like that was Ohio State. Ohio State has like 100 mega boosters. They have like so many different people. It just so happens there's a big whale in the middle named Les Wexner. So Georgia, the people who are paying for the program and paying handsomely for
God,
it.
God, that's a good Red Dead 2 name to say.
Les Wexner.
Les Wexner. When I find Les Wexner.
Sorry.
Wasn't that Tom Cruise's name? Tom Cruise's character?
Tropic Thunder.
Yeah. I'm going to steal so much lotion from that man.
I'm going to learn the secrets of Victoria.
It's you just put words over the butt. That's it. Just put words right over the butt.
Yeah.
That's it. This guy is most noted for an incident. This is a former member of the Board of Regents and a major booster, longtime booster to the Georgia football program. And he's most noted for this. In 2006, this man, a wealthy man, got involved in a street brawl, as in a fight in the street.
Sure.
With the drunk ass son of the mayor of Athens, Georgia. I'm giving it away, but I don't care because this sentence is amazing. and this booster, despite being 68 years old and 19 years older than the other guy, beat his ass so badly that he broke his nose and collapsed and punctured his lung.
Wow.
No charges, baby!
No, because you said this was the son of the mayor of Athens.
Yes.
But if I'm doing the math right, this was a 49-year-old man.
That is correct. Fighting a 68-year-old man at the time.
Like I think
a guy who is so well known for his own life that at 49 he is the mayor's son.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have a side to pick here.
I don't know who this is.
This is Georgia mega booster Don Lieburn, head of the Georgia Crown. A corporation and a major liquor distributor. So
he really doesn't make headlines outside of that one particular thing.
What? Why did this happen?
That's a great question, Ryan. All you need to know is I don't care that this man's in his 80s at this point. I'm not fucking with Don Lieber.
Like, I didn't go to J school. But I at least would have asked, hey, why did this old man beat up this middle-aged man in the
punctured
street?
Punctured his lung!
Why did he beat the ever-loving piss out of the mayor's adult son?
He beat the wind out of this man.
What a large son to beat for no reason.
That means he had to go home that night. And they're like, what happened? He's like, I got my ass beat by a 68-year-old man.
68-year-old liquor baron.
68-year-old liquor baron wore me out in the middle of the damn street.
Also, we know how hyper-vigilant the Athens Police Department are. For them to have done jack shit.
What are you going to do? They'll be like, he can get your tickets on the 50. I ain't touching him.
These are like car crash injuries you've described.
I think it's Athens Police. It's like they watch the 20-year-olds like fucking hawks, but once you're a 49-year-old son, you just go about your business.
Like, was he on a scooter?
Yeah. I think that makes sense. Once you're in your 40s in Athens, you're like, I don't know whose son he is. I'm not fucking with it. It could be anyone's son.
I think their answer is he'll be gone on Monday. He's gonna go back to Carrollton or Bumfuck Snellville. He's going back to Johns Creek. He's got a tea time on Monday. I know he does. So just find him, get him to pay it, get his ass out of here. We ain't got room in that jail because that sucker's full. You let Don Lieberman beat his ass as long as he wants.
Oh, sorry. Crime lab's only open Tuesday through Thursday.
A drive-through window is hectic. You don't want to throw evidence through there.
Could we argue that this was a form of like equine therapy?
Equine.
Well, you know how people go out and pet horses?
Sure.
For therapeutic reasons. What if beating this guy's ass, like, significantly lengthened this senior citizen's life somehow?
Oh, like maybe he had a prescription for it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he siphoned power?
Yeah.
You need to go beat up a fail son is what you need to do. That's going to make you feel so much better.
Listen, as long as you give the person your $35 copay, it's all legal. It's all 100% legal.
I just need to
see a card.
Standing
over him, throwing his Cigna card down and just turning the hill and walking away.
At what age do you pivot from son to fail son, and does it depend on how much money you're set to inherit? Like, is that a key variable? Like if your parents have $1 billion and you're 21 and you haven't done anything, are you at that point already a fail son?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
I would give it to like 25. Like, give yourself a chance to get out of school, maybe if you're pursuing an advanced degree.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, yeah.
I think
25
like,
is a fair number.
It's also
if you're rich enough, I don't think there's an upper. If your parents are rich enough, I don't think there's an upper level for which that designation can ever go away.
It's also a scale that like gets lower the more dumb shit you do. So if you've made it to 21 and you haven't done anything, but you have like wrecked several yachts.
Yeah, like if you have a wiki link next to your, if you have a blue
with
wiki
controversies,
link, yeah.
Yeah. If you have a controversy section and you're 21,
okay,
yeah, you're
yeah.
probably a fail
right.
son at that point.
Yeah. Okay. So that is key factor in the formula.
Legal matters.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
if you have a heavily disputed talk page
right,
on your wiki.
Right, right. Clash with Suge Knight. Why do you have that? You're 21.
How did you even find him?
That would... I'm sure that wouldn't improve.
It depends.
No, I'll tell you who ain't a fail son. That's Don Lieber. Because he's earning it.
He's
streets.
The son failer is who he is. Yeah.
Is this his only?
He's in a relationship with the gymnastics coach Suzanne Yoculin for a long time.
Is this his only like demerit though that we have?
You know what? That is it. Because I will tell you this, and just in like a fun side note. Georgia's booster crew is a lot like Florida's booster crew
uh-huh.
in that they keep things real low key. You don't have a lot of like, it's not like Arkansas, which by the way, Arkansas is not on here. So we'll mention them. It's not like Arkansas where you go, well, who pays for all this? And all of a sudden in your brain, hooting in from the right side, woo, Jerry. There's a lot of Walmart money in there too, actually. Right. Yeah. And some like Purdue money in there as well. Cause chicken is big money in Arkansas. Cause they got the chicken man. But they keep it real low key, like in terms of who pays for what in Georgia right. and who like the big boosters are, pretty well spread out and not real low profile relative to some other programs. That goes for Florida as well. Both schools are kind of mirror images of and keep the same profile.
I like that to this point, the Big Ten is full of freaks and perverts and the SEC school is nothing but like Cotton Hill.
We're going to catch up on that rapidly. Don't worry about that. In fact, let's start doing that now. So, our fourth example. This concerns a mega booster who has presided over one of this conference's most dysfunctional programs over the past 15 years. Company was investigated by the feds for a fraud scheme that targeted specifically Hispanic gas station owners
mm-hmm.
by
yep.
overcharging them.
Yep.
We're already there, but I'm going to keep going. Mm-hmm. Is an NFL owner who the
probably have a good and smart franchise, though, right?
A franchise dumb and amoral enough to sign Deshaun Watson, not just after all of the shit surrounding him, but to a contract so large it has been cited specifically by other franchises to agents as something no sane franchise would do.
Yeah.
A unique keeps great friends because he's the brother of a worthless governor and roommate to an absolutely worthless piece of shit senator, and drafted Johnny Manziel because he said a homeless person told him to do it.
I'm sure his takeaway from that experience is, well, I'm not dealing with the homeless ever again. Ever again.
That was
I've been burnt 1,000%. Once. I've been burnt once. You'll be damned if you see me donate to any efforts
You QB whispering draft Nick, who's also homeless and unhoused at this point. Targeting you, I'm not listening to you.
These drifters poisoning my war room.
Targeting not only Hispanic gas station owners, by the way, but truckers, like the backbone of the state economy.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't fuck with truckers in that state.
Holly, who is this that we're talking about?
Oh, Govals, this is the Haslams. I mean, pick a Haslam.
This is again. Is this Jimmy specifically?
Jimmy Haslam.
This is Jimmy. Jr.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool.
Not.
You
senior.
Also have a. You also have a former mayor of Knoxville. There in the mix. Who?
Not the wrestling. Not the wrestling one.
No, Knoxville, not Knox County.
Oh, sorry.
It's fucking weird. Yeah. We can't elect good anything.
Yeah. Not Tennessee's sole donor, and honestly, not anymore, and not really anymore. They're like. Their largest donor anymore.
You gotta get this is maybe a dead letter story that we should throw over to Split Zone, but you really don't get you don't have enough room at Tennessee for the Texas level of like internecine booster fighting. But if the program was just a little bit bigger and the state was just a little bit more populous, the Haslams and another family, the Thorntons, this would be a dynasty Dallas level of shitbirdery.
If you'd like to get a flavor for this, just Google the Avignon Papacy.
Yep, that there's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot there. Yeah. Yes. Anyway,
but hey, weirdly enough, great MLS owner. Great MLS won a title with the Columbus Crew, and then nothing bad ever happened to that franchise ever again.
Nope.
Don't that just up. Means the players were good.
You know, it means somebody, look, a job look. Creator with the huge entrepreneurial mind to make this happen.
Also, God, the amount of ball washing Stan Kroenke is getting on LinkedIn is fucking unbelievable.
Also, the next time Giannis wins a title, the person who receives the trophy might be Jimmy Haslam.
Christ. Yeah.
Upsetting.
What a contrast between two humans right there.
The best thing Stan Kroenke ever did was briefly make the rest of the NFL ownership think that he was going to stick them with all the St. Louis legal bills. That was a funny week. I really did appreciate that.
I will tell you, Stan Kroenke does have a thimble full of my respect for being like, yeah, I'll spend money. What? Y'all broke?
That's
y'all
the broke? Job. That's, oh my God.
No, but that's not what MLB owners absolutely hate the owner of the Mets, Steve Cohen, because he's like, yeah, I'm going to buy the best players. And MLB owners are like, whoa, Charlie, slow down.
Owners hate him.
And surely the Mets are doing great.
Yes. The strategy's paid off.
Surely pouring money into the Mets has solved all of their problems.
I like the Mets a lot more ever since I found out their owner was the inspiration for the protagonist of Billions.
Although you expect him, you're like, I bet he looks cool like Bob. You know, like, I bet he looks like an actor, like a handsome actor like Bob. Nope. Steve Cohen does not look like
that. That's his television. It's all right.
Yeah, I love that this baseball season is like, wow, how will anyone beat the Mets and Padres? They both spent $1 trillion. And the answer is, well, they're the Mets and Padres.
Because ghosts are free and they come with the building.
That's why the Braves keep moving, just to avoid ghosts.
Mm-hmm. So that is one. I do want to cast a wider net, though, to encompass the cast of characters behind this football machine. And I'm just going to... These are phrases, and they all apply to the people behind the money, behind this absolute Godzilla of a program. I'm going to start with the banger. The CEO of Lockheed Martin.
Is that bad?
No. I don't... What country do you live in?
Yeah. Are you currently at a wedding in the Middle East? Donations from a noted coal baron family who started in the United States, but who outsourced their operations overseas to Colombia for efficiency.
I wish you hadn't already done the Haslams, because this is an amazing head fake for Tennessee on both of these counts.
It gets so much. I'm just like, most people only hear the names, but when you describe them by how they actually made their money, it's amazing.
And it... I know who this is, so I'm going to recuse myself. But this would have been an amazing head fake for Tennessee.
I'm now surprised there's not like a big push to make coal powered drones just belching their way through the sky.
Oh my god! Do not give them that idea.
Listen, when you hear who this is and you think about some of the other corporations that are located in this state, you'll see the vision.
Okay.
It's like, yeah,
it's not that far off.
Okay. The drones have no job other than spreading pollution.
Okay, great.
One of the biggest and oldest mules in this particular collection of large mules, a Nepo baby dog track baron turned banker.
So he started legit, but yes, and a banker.
Yes. And finally, the people who made the Bucks suck, like the people who made the Tampa Bay Buccaneers a laughingstock for the better part of 30 years.
The originals?
The originals.
The Culver House family?
That is correct.
Ooh, okay. All right.
But where are they getting their money?
All of them are top-tier boosters for what program?
So I'm only guessing based on the last one. I want to say the Culver Houses are Bama donors.
Ding.
Because that was part of the big issue with how they fucked over Bo Jackson, and he refused like the best draft pick ever. Mm-hmm. But the Bucks spent a first overall draft pick on somebody who said, "I'd rather play baseball. Fuck off."
Mm-hmm. Eat shit. I'm not doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rabbit I'm not wearing babes. That orange.
Mm-hmm. This is the Bama conglomerate.
Yes, these are just a few names from the constellation of Sun Belt tycoons who are behind the Crimson
Tide. And
speaking
of coal-powered drones, Mercedes US has a strong presence in Alabama.
Right.
The dream is alive.
Okay.
Let me just say.
The coal-powered we call this
the coal-powered drone dream is alive.
This coal-powered drone we call Greta Thunberg. Fuck you!
God. They would, too.
I believe the children are our past.
Lockheed Martin. We believe the children are our past. Blood.
Then we will fight in the shade.
God. It's an inclusive drone, and that's what matters most.
If it's too hot, we just put more coal clouds in the air. That'll cool everybody down.
Oh, I thought you were crying about global warming. We did something to fix it. We took a bunch of murder devices and had them fart clouds all over the sky.
Thanks to this $8 billion defense contract, we're going to drone the sun. That's the solution. You'll see.
It's always been the enemy. I've always said that.
Drone the sun and deny the moon.
We're going to drone the sun because it's making the Midwest too warm, reducing our recruiting advantages.
It's the only opponent Saban's got left. He's beat everybody else. What else has he got?
Except Kirby.
God. You got to take out God. Next, this is fascinating when you go. This is more of a like, who are people named after? This is another group of boosters who are so amorphous and difficult to pin down. And with
real quick, I'd like to back up and just say the group you just mentioned is the group that Nick Saban has successfully got to like
whooped.
Operate on the same page.
Bought his house.
Like LBJ in the Senate style. Wow. It's fucking great.
I gotta
wonder just how close to LBJ.
Mm-hmm. I need 6,000 pages on this. I need Caro to just stop writing and I need him to go and start on the Nick Saban chronicles of how he got all of these people into line. So, this next group is fascinating to me because we're only going to get sort of sketchier and weirder on these people. And there's a historical note in here that made it absolutely irresistible. The player development facility at this program is named after the founder of Core Labs. Core Labs' mission is to completely drain oil and gas reservoirs to completion. That is their goal. Core Labs is like, get the most out of the earth. Core Labs' whole goal is like, hey, are you draining the earth dry
are
of its natural resources with a license?
Would you like to be?
When you nut and core keep on labbing.
Like,
got a gusher? Let's get it all out of there.
Help.
So their mission is impotentness.
That is correct. Their mission is to suck. Uh-huh. When we get the name of this program, will become a funny joke in itself.
Okay. Core Labs. Right.
That includes their campus, by the way. Multiple locations for Core Labs. Includes their campus in Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. And by the way, the head of Saudi Arabia's National Oil Corporation, Aramco, is also a graduate of this same university and has attended, I know documented, has attended a football program or football game at this university. The facility, the actual facility, is named after an oil guy, an old school Texas oil guy who hated all forms of government welfare and who actually decided to take out an advertisement in the Dallas Morning News once when a president came to visit and asked the president a number of different questions in this advertisement when he took it out. He asked questions like, "Sir, are you a communist? Why do you not support the hardworking freedom fighters working to liberate those in Cuba?" This was a Dallas Morning News ad taken out and was published on November 22nd, 1963 in Dallas, that said, "Welcome, Mr. Kennedy." On November 22nd, 1963.
And then what?
The did same day that he was shot,
did he receive a response or not?
He was on Mr. Kennedy was unavailable for comment on November 23rd, 1963. So after being shot in Dallas. Yeah.
Some of us would feel awkward about asking the president harsh questions and then
no, his death head explodes, was, but death was no death was no excuse. When asked about this, by the way, this man said, "I thought it was a good ad. It's not really, some kook shot him. It's not my fault."
We can relate to that, surely.
Yes. Yes. So just to give you an idea, that's who the facility is named after. The football.
Okay, hold on. Time out.
Facility is named after.
Speaking of ads, Spencer, mm-hmm. can we do a little podcast business?
Before we get to our answer, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
Podcast business. Podcast business. What's that business? Podcast business. Actual info on some stuff we got. Ryan, won't you tell them about the podcast business?
Pre-ownedairboats.com is back. Woo! It's been a long wait. It's been a long wait. We appreciate your patience. Pre-ownedairboats.com, our merch store, is back. It's up. It's running. It has a lot of the stuff that was in the merch store before. It has some new stuff. It will continue to get some new stuff and maybe some old stuff that I forgot to put back in. Go check it out. Go buy some coffee mugs and stickers, and
not everything is coming back. We should note some of it is left in the past, and you
that's
were
right.
warned.
That's right.
You could have bought it.
We have pint glasses now. That's a new thing that we're trying. Hopefully, they're good.
Can we talk about the Champion Series?
Go
I love
ahead.
It so much.
Tell them about the Champion Series.
No, you do it. It was your
idea. Okay, fine. We have a series of welcome glasses and stickers that are color specific to national champions of years gone past. Is it all the national champions? No, it's not. Is it
if
every
yours
year?
Is left out, should you feel bad? Yeah.
Probably. And it's, you know what? It's intentional. And it's to make you feel bad because of mm-hmm. something you personally did to us online. Or
we should
I
include
just haven't
one,
gotten to it yet.
We should include one that's just purely claimed and not, like, we should put in, like...
I'm going to make a UCF one. Yeah. 100%. That
is Auburn, but this will also work.
Yeah, so... If you want to buy some fun shit and help support our podcast, you go to preowneairboats.com. You put some stuff in your cart. You put in your financial information. So far, nobody has received medication that they didn't have a prescription for, so I would say it's already going extremely
well. But can we get bladder pills merch?
You can get... Mm-hmm. We do have a bladder pills soccer jersey sticker because I'm the stupidest man in the world.
Love it. Hey, Ryan, what's that website again?
Preownedairboats.com.
That's preownedairboats.com.
Thank you.
It's summer. Major League Baseball's in full swing, and there's one app for you if you want last-minute deals on Major League Baseball games, and that's GameTime.co. That's right, GameTime.co. I'm looking at the app right now, and I'm picking out America's team, really, the Kansas City Royals. And at Kauffman Stadium, just in a couple days, there's tickets available for $16. And then, well, I don't want to up the stakes too much here, but let's go to next week. It looks like they're playing the Chicago White Sox. There are tickets available right now for $3. You could see a Major League Baseball game in Chicago for $3. What stadium, you ask? Not important. It's in Chicago. But GameTime.co is not just for Major League Baseball games, even though you can get great deals for that. You can also get great deals for concerts, football games. Those are going to be coming up pretty soon. You can find them on GameTime.co. I use GameTime.co to purchase last-minute tickets for an Olivia Rodrigo concert. Tyler Childers did not show up at mine. That would have been awesome, but it was awesome nonetheless. And GameTime.co made it super easy. I got my parking through GameTime.co, and I got great tickets for my wife and I. GameTime.co made all of that so easy and one of the greatest concert experiences I've ever had in my entire life. And I'll be using them again. In fact, I'm seeing a little band called The Beaches in late September. And where did I get my ticket? That's right. Even ahead of time. I didn't wait till the last minute because GameTime.co has you covered then as well. That's what I love about it. Whenever I want to get a ticket for an event, whether I heard about it months before and procrastinated to no end and have left myself in a lurch, you can save up to 60% off buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, anything else. So take the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets with GameTime. You can download the GameTime app, create an account, and use code FULLCAST for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code FULLCAST for $20 off. Download GameTime today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Hi, folks. Welcome back to the ad. Last time on the ad, we discussed how we will spend our retirement plans. We, to be clear, at the time was Spencer Serber and I. Let's check in with a different crew because this summer, Coors Light is encouraging everyone to chill by treating the summer like they're retired. So let's plan ahead. Ryan, what does retirement mean to you in the future tense?
If I ever get there, what I plan to do in retirement is go to big box stores, Best Buy, Target, etc. Maybe Home Depot or Lowe's. Wearing similar vestments to the employees and just wander the store and wait for people to come up to me and ask questions and give them bad information. Because I don't work there and I can't get in trouble.
The good advice you could give them, of course, is to try Coors Light.
That's right. Welcome to Best Buy. Would you like some Coors Light? I have some right here.
The can turns blue, like my polo.
Yeah.
Holly, how about you? How is retirement shaping up?
I got to tell you, the thing I'm most looking forward to, just in general, is I would like to live to an age where everything I say is automatically adorable.
Like wise and adorable or just sort of like quirky?
Like quirky. Like you know, I can come in there, I could talk much like I am now and say that I believe the earth is round but the moon is flat and everyone and no one can say shit to me because I'm so ancient. Like did you ever have one of those relatives? Or they could just say whatever the fuck they wanted, and sure. No one was allowed to call them on their shit because they were just basically bags of bones with opinions.
Sure, and it's yeah. Genuinely funny when someone says something so confidently at a certain age.
Yep.
It's in a way, it's like being a child again, and I'm looking forward to that. One way in which I will not be a child again is I'm going to need something to unwind with after alienating all of my younger relations with my various antics and tomfoolery. And gosh, I hope Coors Light is still around. Because I won't be able to rely on visits from my grandkids, but I will be able to rely on those mountains turning blue when my beer is cold.
I think if you're going to be an eccentric retiree, I think you develop, like, it's important to have like confusing dietary choices that you insist are part of your longevity. Be like, oh, every morning I eat 3 lobsters and before bed I drink 4 Coors Light.
That's
and
not I, confusing
that's,
at all.
That's why I've made it to 98 years old.
It's called hydrating, Ryan.
We've done a lot of these, and I really think that my favorite takeaway from this and the thing I've learned is that I do want to be the person who dispenses health advice like, hi, the secret to me living to the age of 143 is that I have exactly 2 Coors Lights a day, and I smoke a cigar that would kill a lesser man.
Fruit destroys your white blood cells. That's why I don't eat it.
Spencer is going to live longer than any of us do. That's the sick part.
100%, because his body will forget to die. Yeah. It won't be on purpose. He's just late.
Late and fortified by the cold-filtered, cold-lagered, icy-cold taste of Coors Light.
This summer, chill like you're retired with Coors Light. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/shutdown. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Okay, that's it. That's the unless anybody else has pie caps.
I love that we touched upon a virtual decapitation and decided Now's the time to drop the ad.
while we're having a light day.
Yeah.
So while we're going over this, this is to remind everybody that, by the way, the reason I have this one so far back in the line is because when we joke about this program's fortunes being tied to the price of crude in the West Permian.
When we what?
Joke about this program's fortunes being tied to the price of crude in the Permian Basin.
I tried, folks.
That's not really a joke, and it also means that it's also tied to the global price of oil and to the performance of other major oil entities, i.e. Gulf states. Gulf states. You're kind of already basically in business with them if you are a supporter of this program. Should be pretty obvious who we're talking about right now.
Gig 'em,
baby. Yeah, the ones respectively, that's Monty Davis, who the Davis Performance Facility is the football facility for Texas A&M, the training facility, the weight room, if you will. That's Monty Davis of Core Labs, the ones that their job was to suck. And Bum Bright, former owner of the Dallas Cowboys as well, pre-Jerry Jones. He's the guy who sold the Cowboys to Jerry Jones. Bum Bright, the John Birch Society member, and the guy who took out an ad, "Welcome, Mr. Kennedy," on November 22nd, 1963. That's the Bright Football Facility is named after his contributions to the program. He was the ultimate Aggie super fan. Those are the people who are kind of like in and around A&M, along with Tony Busby.
Is Tony the one who bought? Did he buy the tank? Is he the one? The one
that
who
is correct.
The tank?
Tony Busby put a tank that he could not put in his driveway, so he parked it on the street in front of his house in Texas.
If you look this up, by the way, because it's just the most cookie cutter suburban looking street imaginable, and it's got it's a tank ass tank. This is not like. This is possible and mistaken as a paramilitary safari vehicle. No, it is a tank.
So you, the people who live in Georgetown in Washington, D.C., who are cranky about the guy who has the Transformer statues, Google this. You would much rather have Transformer statues than giant World War II tank.
Yep. Some neighbors hated it. Neighbor Ken Douglas, though, told KHOU in an interview after Cheyenne, the name of the tank, arrived from France to the front yard of Tony Busby.
French tank!
He said, "I think it's an asset, and I think if you watch the cars come up and slow down, you say to yourself, wow, that's America."
You know what? He's not wrong there.
You put Christmas lights on it, right? Like, if you have a tank in your front yard, it's part of your Christmas setup, right?
Do you put a giant skeleton on top of it?
Oh my God, how can you not? How could you? I would actually put, like, one giant skeleton on top of it and several regular sized skeletons like trying to crawl on top of it.
Yeah.
By the way, had to move it eventually after neighbor complaints and after traffic cops had papered Sherman with 3 parking tickets in 6 days. And it was only after the third citation that he defiantly announced on his Facebook page, "My God, that is the most
quit over a parking ticket. I thought you were rich."
Now it's on Busby's ranch near Texarkana.
It went to live on a farm.
He sent the tank to go live on a farm.
When was that?
This was 2017.
Okay, so 2022, here's a headline. Lawyer battles HOA over World War II tank parked in front of his house. So at some point it relocated in front of his house. There's a screenshot of the thing sitting on the fucking street.
It's so amazing.
Is it still there?
This is 2022. Yeah, it's probably moved somewhere even dumber as of now.
That's incredible. Because by the way, he said,
2023 article.
"I've adopted the tank as my son, and you can't kick my son off my property."
The Battle of River Oaks Boulevard pitted a marine against the homeowners association.
Yeah.
"This is my sweet son, Cheyenne Busby, and I'll be damned if you try to take him away from me."
You know, families are different.
"You've heard of found family? Well, this is ground family."
I like somebody who said, somebody who defended
Busby. Ground family.
Somebody who defended Busby's part in this by saying, "You know, he is a veteran." I'm like, we don't give veterans
what?
Tanks.
The fuck?
You don't just get, it's not like you get to rehome a tank if you're a veteran.
The tank might be a veteran.
It is a real shame that Tony Busby, who I think is or was an A&M regent, owns this tank and does not tailgate with it at every A&M home game. What a failure of imagination and bravado.
And Ryan, I just tank like it's a police dog.
I bet I know why. You know why? The only reason that I think the Aggies would accept, it'll scare the horses.
Mm.
Can't bring your horse to the game if the tank's there.
Well, are they really war horses then? Sounds like the horses ain't ready for combat.
Yeah. I'm just like, while Tony Busby was leading the lawsuits against Deshaun Watson, he was also contending against an HOA about a fucking tank.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
These things aren't equal importance, I guess.
Yeah.
Everyone needs a cool down hobby, I guess. What a bizarre.
I have not seen a more distinct example of a man containing multitudes in quite some time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Most Aggie thing about this, by the way, mileage for the tank, 10 gallons to the mile. 10 gallons to the mile, baby. Just, you got to refuel? Yeah, it's been on for 10 minutes.
So the Aggie won't get very far.
Yeah. I'd say they'd get somewhere between 8 to 4. 8 to 4 kilometers.
Felt more like 6 to 7 to me, frankly.
6 to 7?
Yep.
That seems optimistic. Better put some Bobby Petrino on it. That'll fix everything.
A phrase I'd never want to hear again.
Just get it in there.
Rub some Bobby on it. Yeah.
Next.
I have a good one. This would be, we've gone back to single Mega Booster. This Mega Booster allegedly threatened a business partner whose answers he didn't like in a leadership meeting by saying afterwards to him, one-on-one, "I could fuck you up if you don't like it," unquote.
It's not a threat. It's an offer.
No, it's an offer.
Hypothetically, you can't threaten somebody in the subjunctive.
After scoring a bunch of money in a SPAC for his company, he made deep NIL commitments that initially yielded very strong recruiting classes for a program badly in need of a rebound.
Just going to throw it up.
Stock of the company in question plunged $30 billion in 1 week following that. And the company is now out of compliance as a publicly listed company thanks to accounting irregularities. And the program, after being a top 5 in recruiting over the past year and change, is now trending towards the mid-20s, 27, around there for 2024. Can you name the booster and the school?
This is John Ruiz, I believe is his name.
That is correct. That is correct. Very good, Brian.
And we are talking about the goddamn you.
The you, baby! The U, which per their other boosters, is looking to diversify its NIL money in one word. Yeah. And yeah, because of accounting irregularities at Life Wallet and in the John Ruiz empire. It would be the most Miami Hurricanes thing ever to just buy a fantastic recruiting class and instantly run out of cash due to accounting irregularities. That is, oh shit, that's chef's kiss. That's so good.
And not just a class. They did this in like every sport at once.
Yeah. Yeah. Surely that's sustainable, Jason. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Clearly, yes.
Surely that's something that we can keep going across the board forever. Yes, that is the Miami Hurricanes' own John Ruiz.
Let's just say their two most famous women's basketball recruits then left for a more stable environment, the WWE.
Speaking of the piff.
Speaking of stable management and great creative ideas. This one is, it's very hard to pin down everybody in this booster's like cast more than any other. There's so many names in this pool. I just wanted to pick one, okay? Because it embodies a lot of, I think, what fuels all of this. And I have a really great quote that also sums up, I think, what this booster core is mostly about. Somebody else who got money from his oil baron dad, he took that money, flipped it, and bought Omni Hotels and Gold's Gym, all right? And is a massive GOP donor, spearheaded, among other kind of sketchy initiatives, something called the University Liberty Institute, Whoa. Which is a conservative think tank at the school.
That's like, that sounds auto-generated, like...
Yeah, that's like, we're coming up with ideas for Fallout 5. What do you got?
Yes, and I'm going to give away the answer because I have to do it in order to get to this quote, okay? Because there was a dispute over a little ditty, a song, at this school.
Yeah, sure.
Which surely they can afford these kind of disputes, being already excellent at football and every other sport.
And rich.
And the quote was, regarding this dispute, I am not advising you or taking any position regarding this issue right now. When somebody writes this in a letter, by the way, it means that they are about to advise you or take a position. That's exactly what it means, just the opposite. Other than to say, this needs to be our song. I am wanting you to be aware of the, quote, talk about town, unquote. It's another super dumb guy thing. Regarding this, a lot of folks on this email chain who love the university and are in positions of influence. I don't mean to threaten you. You're threatening. So you probably got the school, but you probably won't have the name. Who is this, and for what school are they a major booster?
So this is Texas.
That is correct.
I do not have the name, though.
The only dude I can act. There are so many people who showed up for that goddamn song that I can't even narrow it down.
That's Bob Rowling.
All the boosters at Texas I can actually name are dead, it occurs to me.
Yes, big buddy.
There's probably
big
nothing
buddy,
there.
Big buddy of Greg Abbott, Bob Rowling, who's also a large booster, largest booster for the Texas, and is a big fan of the choo-choo song.
Our little choo-choo song.
This is going to be our song. We won't write checks if you don't sing it.
This is our train song. I thought I'd have something. Sorry.
No, it's fine.
No, it's good. But yes.
This does make me think of the alternate universe where Texas donors are really mad that Texas players won't sing Drops of Jupiter at the end of Texas football games. The train song's important to us.
Oh, and that's it. Those are. Oh, well, I have one more, and it's a very short one. So a clue as to this particularly controversial booster. It's Phil Knight. Phil Knight, y'all. Like there, it's Phil. Phil Knight.
Okay. Go look.
Phil.
Why is he controversial?
You know, there's a lot there, and it starts with the word sweatshop, and then it just kind of spirals out from there. Mm-hmm. And that's before you get to all of the influence he's had on the Oregon athletic program for better and for worse, for much worse.
Sounds like a weight room.
Yeah. I think you mean redistributing wealth globally. That's what he meant.
Who is the Florida State booster who I think had to be disassociated?
He's dead.
Who am I? Oh, is he dead?
Yeah, that's dead. That was
disassociated.
That was
that series of sentences sounds like Florida State killed him.
The guy.
Yeah, it's like when you talk about somebody and you say they disappeared him.
Mr. Wick,
that form
he needs to be disassociated.
Welcome to the Tallahassee Continental, Mr. Wick.
I'm just here for the convention. I don't know what you guys are
you
talking
about. You are disassociado.
Here is your tactical fishing shirt, Mr. Wick.
Mr. Wick's sweat.
Oh, my God.
As you will see, it is both a name and a benefit.
Killed my manatee.
I mean, if it's dry fit, that means there's no blood on it, right?
Yeah, there's no way. There's absolutely no way that John Wick could be a Texas fan.
God, I would love to see a manatee fuck up John Wick.
I will say, I bet if you go into any Tallahassee hotel, John Wick universe or not, and say, "Why don't you give me a gun?" It might work. You might get one. Well, okay, sir.
You should just try it.
Speak to the concierge first.
Folks, sound off in the comments. Tell us how this worked out for you.
You just call down to the front desk. Can you bring up a gun?
I'm sorry, sir.
I need some washcloths and...
Can I get the strap?
Menu.
I'm sorry, sir. The gun buffet ended at 9:30.
There's a fucking duel every morning.
It's okay, because the continental breakfast is the safe zone.
The 2 hours per day when nobody can shoot each other.
Yeah. As long as that waffle iron's hot and on.
Just waiting for the eggs to be taken away. Start blasting.
Yeah.
Jonathan, what have you done? You've destroyed the waffle maker.
Pouring bullets out of those tiny little boxes of Fruit Loops.
If you watch T-Pain's live streams, like one time he's talking to a guy and he's like, when I find out people are from Tallahassee, I always ask, are you okay? the guy that you were thinking of was Chainsaw Al Dunlop.
That's the one.
Yeah, whose big thing was to take over a company, fire half the people for no reason, fudge inventory numbers, boost the stock price, and cash out. Yeah, that was Chainsaw Al Dunlop, who, as a part of his settlement from the Sunbeam case, could not be a CEO anywhere. Like, that was the thing. The United States government was like, you're done.
He sounds like he's working digital media, frankly. I think he'd
the wrong industry. Yeah. Profits are up, baby.
And there's no Florida donor, Florida booster that you have for us today.
I have a list of four people I am trying to work through and figure out exactly how sketchy they are.
Okay, good.
Because like you look at the businesses and you go, ostensibly these are legitimate.
Seems
I just have to
a
figure out
too legit.
Yeah, like one of our biggest boosters is Gary Condren, and Gary Condren is he's a construction guy. Right? But he's a construction guy, so I'm like, what do you really mean by that?
It's like more in the Italian sense.
Or in the I just assume every major business that's super profitable is a front for something else. Like what does Tesla do? They're actually a tax credits company.
There's
right?
one
like,
exception to this.
They build bombs.
Yeah. What?
Arizona ID, the only honest business in America, other than whoever we're advertising this week. They're also honest, but besides them.
I mean, Coors is like, we sell beer. That's yeah. that's
true.
If it comes yeah. in a can, it's probably honest.
Yeah, I think that's right.
That's a good rule.
Yeah, like even Four Loko was like, this will kill you. Don't drink it, but
so,
we'll sell it.
So I saw Luke Zimmerman tweet about this. Did Ohio State hockey players really invent Four Loko? Is that true?
Yeah, no, that's true. Listen, everybody whose ears are on at the moment, we talk a lot of shit about Ohio State in this program, but nothing but high praise for the most compelling and on-brand origin story of a regional company ever. That is that Ohio State hockey players created the beast that was original Formula 4 Loco, and that it was so gnarly they had to tone it down for the general public. They had to be like, here's a dragon, and they were like, the dragon is too strong!
This was like an amazing formula. Time to be a sophomore in college.
Like, they've toned it down, but for a while, Florida really used to play up, like, the birthplace of Gatorade, and like, Ohio State should be doing this with Four Loko as well.
Like, yeah, but not just Four Loko, they have to be like the birthplace of original Formula 4 Loko, which for real heads, they would be like, oh yes, I too took that slide straight to hell.
Like, that at should be the- that should be the, like... The thing they do at the start of the fourth quarter at every Ohio State home game is some sort of Loco thing.
Everyone pounds a Four Loko.
Come on, I don't care that you're seven. This is tradition.
I think the next time Ohio, excuse me, I got them mixed up because they both lose games. The next time Ohio State wins a game that matters, coach gets doused in Four Loko. It'll be a while.
And he either melts or bursts into flame.
Turned into Daredevil. It's fucking wild.
Please stop praying for him. He's too strong. Yeah. So the original formulation is allegedly equivalent to at least four beers, one espresso shot, and one Red Bull.
America's never stopped innovating.
An entire Friday in a can.
Somebody asked yesterday, like, you know, why would you millennials or why would like elder millennials do this? And like, do you want to mix this up in a gas station bathroom or do you want to grab a can?
Depends on
efficiency,
the gas station.
Resource allocation.
I do this in a Buc-ee's.
I thought you were gonna say I do this in a bucket. And I was gonna say, yeah, that's how we used to have to do it.
That's next YouTuber challenge.
I'm grateful.
Build a functioning still inside a Buc-ee's. And then it's legal.
Ooh. Buc-ee shine.
Yeah. Our producer today, Douglas, says it apparently also had psychoactive ingredient of absinthe, wormwood. Sure.
I don't think it was in an I don't think that was in enough quantities to I think that was just a show off.
Yeah, I think that's just there for branding. You know? Yes, that is my we have completed the tour of the sketchy people that you already aligned with.
Got anybody? Let us know because I would like to know about more sketchy people.
And there's probably ones we don't know about, but we want
yeah,
to.
Yeah, these are the only the ones that know of.
There's one in here that was just brief and super depressing. It's that the guy who is the head of Daniel Defense, Marty Daniel, is a big Georgia Southern booster. And that's the company that made the AR-15 that was present arsenal of the Las Vegas massacre shooter. and was also used in the Uvalde massacre. Mm. And that's a big Georgia Southern guy. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's just a bummer. That's just like there's not anything super colorful. And you're just like, oh, man, that's depressing as hell.
And the Sackler family doesn't give a shit about football, I guess.
Thank God. Although, if they're willing to contribute to the Florida NIL fund. Yeah.
God.
I'm going to say no.
The answer can be reached at...
Like you're... Bleep that, Douglas, please.
Do not bleep this.
That's my actual number.
No, it's not. I can't remember your actual number.
I don't think he can either, Holly.
Why would I remember that?
That's true.